welcome and good morning.
Good morning.
My, what a pretty day it is out there today. The Lord's been mighty good to us. We want to thank Him and worship Him today. It's good to have you with us. And let's look at a few announcements before we begin worship. You see listed in the bulletin on page 2, Mondays 9 o'clock to 12 o'clock, the ladies' auxiliary have a quilt project going to help support the veterans. You're all invited to be a part of that. Just come and help them with this. Also, on the 14th, on Thursday at 10, Bible study. Ladies' auxiliary will also meet on the 17th, Sunday evening at 4. And Johnny, talk to us about the food bank.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. As you know, we've sistered up to the downtown church beside the fire department, and we're helping with the food bank. If you can be there to help, Billy's going to help this time, and myself and whomever else can. It's at 10 o'clock on the 19th, so it's not this coming Tuesday, it's a Tuesday week. It takes about 2 hours, so you'll be done by lunchtime, give or take a minute or two. Usually we build about enough for 62 people or families. So that consists of 2 grocery bags per person or per family. So it's a real wonderful thing. We're going to contribute to it financially as well as offer help. So if you are able to go, if you will let me know, so I can let them know if they need to have more stations set up to build the bags. So I appreciate that. Thanks.
It's a great opportunity to be the hands and the feet of Jesus as we look to help feed the least of these, the brethren in our community. If you can't be there, pray for this ministry. And if you'd like to support it, that'd be fine by going or giving financially. Deacons will meet the 19th at 6 p.m. That's Tuesday. And then Wednesday, choir practice on the 20th, 6:30. Pre-Easter's coming up. That's Sunday evening at 6:30, March the 24th.
May I say something about that?
Yes.
It's billed as a woman's auxiliary pre-Easter service. But it's not just for women's auxiliary, and it's not just for women. It's for everybody. So I know Caroline would say this. Please come and worship us.
Also, Easter Sunday is coming up, and that is on the 31st. Look forward to worshiping with you on that Sunday. Church boards have your nominees ready for the coming year by the spring quarterly meeting. Anyone needing to use the facilities here, see Donna. Phone number is listed. We have any other announcements? I think Miss Caroline wanted to say something.
Okay. I had something happen to me. It actually happened to my children. One of my children lives in Atlanta, and she got a call, and this guy was saying that, you know, he had my mother, and if I didn't send a certain amount of money, he was going to shoot me. And it was my voice. It was calling from my phone number. And so you got this AI thing going on that is doing this. Donna said that she remembers it happening about 6 or 7 years ago. But anyway, it scared my children to death. They were calling the police department, everything, calling anybody and everybody that knew me to come check on me. But I'm just telling you this, so if it happens, you might need to get a safe word for your family. If so, if something like this happens, you'll know that it's not you. If they don't know the safe word, it was my voice, my phone number. It's one of these AI things.
They want money.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Send them money. Yeah. And she was, my daughter was trying to send them money, and thank God it wouldn't go through. So I'm thankful for that. But anyway, just be warned.
Anyone else? All right, let's prepare for worship. Stand, please, and let's read together the responsive reading. This is the day that the Lord hath made.
Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
O give thanks to the Lord and call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the peoples.
Sing to him. Sing praises to him. Tell of all his wondrous works. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice.
Praise our God, all you his servants, you who fear him, small and great.
Hallelujah. For the Lord our God, the Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and exalt and give him the glory.
Father God, I exalt and praise and lift the name of Jesus this morning. That's why we're here, to sing praises to you and to just tell of the wondrous things that you do every day in our lives. It is such a comfort to know that you do reign, and we can always turn to you for guidance and for leadership to guide us through the storms of life and strengthen us in the areas where we're weak. We honor you and we praise you that when we're weak, you're strong. And we pray you'd be strong in our lives today, that we can feel your anointing, that you will move us in the direction that we should go, that we can do your work your way. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Let's remain standing and turn in our hymnals to 450. We're going to sing verses 1, 2, 4, and 5 of Lift High the Cross.
Lift high the cross, the love of Christ.
Thank you. You may be seated. Mr. Brendan Gray has our scriptures this morning.
The Old Testament reading comes from Psalms 107, verses 1 through 9. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His faithful love endures forever. Has the Lord redeemed you? Then speak out. Tell others he has redeemed you from your enemies. For he has gathered the exiles from many lands, from east and west, from north and south. Some wandered in the wilderness, lost and homeless, hungry and thirsty. They nearly died. Lord help, they cried in their trouble. And he rescued them from their distress. He led them straight to safety, to a city where they could live. Let them praise the Lord for his great love and for the wonderful things he has done for them. For he satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things. The New Testament reading comes from John chapter 3, verse 14 through 21. And as Moses lifted up the bronze snake and the pole in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him will have eternal life. For this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. God sent his Son into the world, not to judge the world, but to save the world through him. There is no judgment against anyone who believes in him, but anyone who does not believe in him has already been judged for not believing in God's one and only Son. And the judgment is based on this fact: God's light came into the world, but people loved the darkness more than the light. For their actions were evil. All who do evil hate the light and refuse to go near it. For fear of their sins, they will be exposed. But those who do what is right come to the light so others can see that they are doing what God wants. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
continue to worship as we pray. Are there any needs this morning we need to remember?
Ivana Johnson.
Who?
Ivana.
Ivana Johnson, okay.
Just deal with Arthur Lawson's brother.
Okay. Yes. Any others?
Alan J.
Okay.
Janet Heck is having her shoulder operated on tomorrow. All right. And Barbara Smith has been put on hospice.
Any others?
Marie Smith.
Yes.
Nicole Gaskins.
Nicole Gaskins, okay.
Our country.
Yes. Any others? So, Wednesday I'm going to go to Duke and have my hand operated on. So pray for Billy, all right? Supposed to be a one-day deal, so hopefully I'll be back home in time for supper. And I'm doing it off a testimony of Miss Grubb. She's not here this morning. Same lady doctor that operated on her hand. So anyway, we have an update from Greg. Says Greg completed 6 weeks of radiation and now just waiting to find out what is next on March the 21st at Duke. The doctor's continuing to monitor his blood work closely. His immune system is very compromised. But he thanks everyone for all the prayers, cards, and gifts and loves. And he said, we love y'all. So continue to pray for Greg, Sandy, and the whole family, okay? Any others?
Bernie Ann's coming home Friday if everybody's
good. Okay. Hallelujah. And I forgot to mention the prayer points for the week of March the 10th. You got an insert in your bulletin. So as you pray this week, remember the annual offering. They take an offering once a year for a farm mission program to serve our workers in other countries. So pray about that offering, and we'll take on March the 24th, we'll take our offering. And so pray for that, and pray for the pastors, workers, and the members of our churches in Mexico, Liberia, and in Guinea. And short-term mission teams to Belize and Ghana. And also pray for Caleb's Dollar Ministry and the children that it serves in Liberia. Continue to pray in the same with thanksgiving. All right, let's take action as we pray.
Give us the strength we need to carry on with our lives
and to help these folks that are in need and have names that have been submitted. Thank you again for everything you do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Let's all turn in our hymnals to 344. We're going to stand and sing verses 1, 2, and 4 of Grace Greater Than Our Sin.
Maybe see. Thank you. Stand for the doxology, please. You may be seated. Scripture we use today comes from John chapter 3. What is the most famous scripture from John chapter 3? Yeah, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that what? Whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Now, Brandon read the last part of that chapter. Didn't he do a good job this morning? Yes. All right. Thank you, Brandon. Brendan, excuse me. But anyway, I'm going to read the first part to you if you don't mind. John chapter 3, beginning with verse 1. Our thought today is the secret of life. Now, there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council, and he came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him." Jesus replied, "Verily, truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." "How can someone be born again when they're old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb and be born." Jesus answered, "Verily, truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the spirit gives birth to the spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. The wind blows where it pleases, you hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." How can this be, Nicodemus? "You are Israel's teacher," Jesus said, "and you do not understand these things? Verily, truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know and we testify to what we've seen. But still, you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him." Did you get all that? Did you understand all of it? All right. The secret of life. El Aubrey Fellowship began in Switzerland in 1955 when Francis and Edith Schaefer opened their home as a place where people might find satisfying answers to their questions about spiritual things and might understand practical demonstration of what Christians and Christian care is all about. It was called El Abri because it was the French word for shelter, because they sought to provide a shelter from the pressures of a relentless secular 20th century. As time went by, many people came, and others were called to join the work, and more branches were established across America and Europe. The prevailing attitude was that honest inquiry concerning our beliefs in God, that is good. Because the Christian faith is strong enough to stand in the face of any challenge or any challenger. Thousands of lives have been changed as seekers found the truth they sought in the haven of Elabri. Though Francis Schaeffer died more than 40 years ago, his ministry continues through centers all across Europe and North America. Each center is based on the same objective, to provide a place for seekers to find answers. There are many examples of individuals throughout history who have sought truth. And after exploring the philosophies of men and the teachings of man, they ultimately found their way to faith in Jesus Christ. A good example is Augustine. He was born before we were, and he grew up in the 4th century in a Christian home. But when he became an adult, he decided not to be baptized into the Christian faith. Instead, he left home to travel the world and study other philosophies. He was most attracted to Banshism, a belief that the world was created by the power of evil and not God. And he taught this rhetoric in all the universities that he taught at, and eventually ended up in Milan, where he met Bishop Ambrose. And under the influence of this saintly man, Augustine finally found the truth he was seeking, and he surrendered his life fully to Jesus Christ. Eventually, he wrote Confessions and Cities of God, two of the most influential early Christian writings. Today, there are millions who are seeking something, but they're not sure what it is. They're looking for fulfillment through success or things or money or travel or relationships or any another number of things. But it seems to be more elusive the harder they search. Many recognize a need for a spiritual element in their lives, and they have found their way back into the church. And maybe some of you here, they fall in that category. And I want you to know that you're welcome here. If you're in search of truth and significance, and your search has brought you here, we're glad you're here, and we would like to answer your questions. We'll try to treat you the same way Jesus treated the seeker who came to visit him. The seeker's name was Nicodemus, and he was a high-ranking Jewish member of the Jewish ruling council. He was up there, huh? And his affiliation with Judaism was really more political than religious. Nicodemus was not especially a spiritual person, but he was interested of things of a spiritual nature. As Jesus went from village to village preaching and teaching and healing, performing miracles, Nicodemus noticed something about Jesus that was authentic. It was real. It was something he didn't see in any other religious person. He was intrigued. And he wanted to know more, so the scripture says he came to Jesus one night. Why at night? Some say it was because he was trying to hide, but I really don't think so. I think there's another reason he came by night. You know, during the day, people surrounded Jesus and they flocked to him. And even the Jewish leaders that approached Jesus during the day, they were often hostile and antagonistic. I believe Nicodemus wanted to separate himself from that group and from all people. He wanted some alone time with Jesus. Have you ever just needed some alone time? Anybody? Yeah, a few people. Well, Nicodemus needed some alone time. There was a lot of things going on. There's a lot of chaos and confusion in the world in his day, and he saw something in Jesus that was real, and he wanted some alone time with Jesus so he would have an opportunity to speak to him and question him privately, away from the atmosphere of the public. Nicodemus was an honest seeker with honest questions, and he came to Jesus looking for answers, not an argument. You ever met with someone like that? They didn't really looking to answer, they were looking to argument. Jesus and Nicodemus did have a discussion, and it was an eye-opener for Nicodemus. He came to Jesus asking him how to be more religious, and he left knowing the secret of life. What is it? What was it that Nicodemus learned that night? Three things. He learned that the most important lesson a person can learn is, number one, his life is meant to be a spiritual event. Jesus told Nicodemus that unless a man was born of water and the Spirit, he could not enter the kingdom of heaven. And he went on to say in verse 6 that flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to the Spirit. And this is what Jesus meant. In those days, most Jews believed they could achieve and maintain a right relationship with God through physical acts, like being born into a Jewish family and being circumcised and wearing a certain kind of clothing and washing their hands a certain way and attending a certain type of worship in a temple, or maybe in a synagogue, and on and on and on and on it went. All these Jews performed these customs, and for many, this was the extent of their religious life. Jesus was saying to Nicodemus, there's more to a relationship with God than what you can see and touch. Being Jewish by birth isn't enough. There's a spiritual element to life that you can't ignore. Now, Nicodemus was not so different from us. Most Americans believe that we're special to God simply because we're American. I mean, we believe that our way of doing things is the right way, and our customs are the best customs, and our religious traditions are the best, and the way we worship is the only way. It's the American way. Now, I can remember back in the 90s, Billy and I spent 15 days in the Philippines visiting some of our churches. And we spent time with them, eating their food and working with them all day and worshiping with them, getting to know them. And during several weeks in a remote village, I came upon a life-changing discovery. All of the things I thought were necessary for happiness, a nice car, a stereo, a television, movies, a cell phone, fast food, fancy church buildings. All of these were missing from these villagers' lives. Yet these fellow believers were the happiest, most contented, most spiritual people I've ever associated with. In church, they didn't have a fancy choir or an organ or a band or a media presentation. They just had a very real, authentic faith and love for Jesus Christ. And they were content to worship Him all day long if you could hang in there with them. And it gave their lives meaning in a way I had never witnessed before. I say this to say we have a tendency to place our hope for happiness in material things. We think that out there somewhere there is a car or a house or a boat or a nice building or something that will bring us the fulfillment that we're seeking. We think we need things to make us complete as we compete with those around us. Jesus' response to this kind of thinking is, the flesh gives birth to flesh. The secret of life is knowing that happiness and fulfillment and peace and salvation are all spiritual matters. They cannot be achieved through material possessions or physical experience. Why not? Because life is meant to be a spiritual event. And in order to find fulfillment, we must become spiritual in our thinking and in the way we live. We must open ourselves to that which cannot be seen. Jesus pointed this out to Nicodemus. He said, Nicodemus, the wind blows where it pleases. You hear its sound, but you can't tell where it comes from or even know where it's going. So it is everyone that is born of the Spirit. These words that Jesus spoke to Nicodemus almost 2,000 years ago contain the very message we need to hear and proclaim today. Life is more than just physical existence. It is a spiritual event. And in order to find fulfillment in this life and in the life to come, we must come alive spiritually. Now, how do we do that? Jesus told Nicodemus, number two, that the key to life is a supernatural experience. Verse 3, he said, I tell you the truth, unless a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. The phrase born again can also be translated born from above. So what Jesus is referring to here is the supernatural experience that we cannot conjure up. We can't contrive it. We can only receive it. And it is the work of God. It comes from God. It is His gift to us. Many times we're like the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul was bound and determined to earn God's favor. As a religious man, he dotted every ceremonial I and crossed every ritualistic T. He was born into a conservative Jewish family. He followed all the customs. He kept all the traditions. He was a member of the Pharisees, a rigid branch of Judaism that demanded the strictest obedience to every Jewish law. He was radically committed. And he was zealous to the point that he killed those he considered to be enemies of Judaism. And in Philippians 3:4, this is what Paul said about his life. He said, if anyone had reason to hope that he could save himself, it would be I. Eventually, Paul found out he couldn't save himself. One day while he was traveling to Damascus, he had this supernatural experience that changed his life forever. Suddenly, a brilliant light from heaven shined down on him. He fell to the ground. The voice said, Paul, why are you persecuting me? And Paul said, who are you? The voice said, this is Jesus, the one you're persecuting. Now go into the city and wait for instructions. When he got up, he discovered he was blind, and his companions led him to the city. And 3 days later, a man named Ananias came and prayed for him. Scripture says immediately he could see again. He was baptized, and he began to tell others about Jesus. This type of thing didn't just happen in biblical days. It still happens today. Maybe people don't get struck blind. But the principle remains the same. In order to be part of God's kingdom, you have to have a supernatural experience with God. You got to know Him in a spiritual way. And I tell you, God is not limited in how He reveals Himself to His people. That's another message, okay? But it happens all kinds of different ways for all kinds of different people. John Wesley, you've heard of him. He wrote a lot of hymns. He was a preacher. He wrote that it happened to him when he felt his heart was strangely warm like he had never felt before. C.S. Lewis, who was an atheist, eventually found Jesus, and he reported that it happened during a drive to the zoo. He says, it wasn't an emotional experience at all. He said, we set out, and I did not believe that Jesus was the Son of God. But when we reached the zoo, I did. And I tell you, he's done a lot for the Christian faith in his writings, C.S. Lewis. Many have this experience maybe at a church or at a home Bible study. Or maybe at an online study with friends or fellow believers. Or maybe during just a private worship time during the day or of an evening. Or maybe when a friend witnesses to you. I experienced a new birth late one evening while reading Romans 3. It may happen in a variety of ways, but the crucial point is this, that anyone who wishes to have a relationship with God must have a supernatural experience with Him. Jesus said in verse 7, you must be born again. He's saying that life is meant to be a spiritual event. In order to get in on it, we have to have this supernatural experience. So how does this happen? You're getting deep, preacher. All right, number three, it comes down to this simple explanation. That's point three. It's simple. It's always interesting to see how Hollywood illustrates salvation. I remember many years ago, there was a movie called Semi-Tough, and it portrayed people who had this non-describable experience. They referred to it as it. I don't know if you remember it, that movie. There was this new type, new age type of evangelist who charged a lot of money for his followers to come to his services to hear him talk about it. And he wouldn't tell them what it was or how to experience it. They had to find the experience for themselves. All he told them was they needed to give money to it. It was really confusing and silly, but really it was just, you know, Hollywood mocking the idea of a real relationship with God. Jesus explained salvation so simple, I don't know how anyone could get it wrong. A supernatural experience is nothing you work for. And you can say, I work enough. It's nothing that you can earn. Even if you could work for it, you can't even earn it. So there's no need to even try. And you know what? Really, you don't even deserve it. And you might be thinking, well, it's out of my reach. It is if we depend upon ourselves. Gee, salvation is not something that we can do or earn. It's something that's given to us as a gift. And there's only one way to receive that gift. Jesus plainly states in verse 16, whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. I mean, it can't be any simpler than that. The key to the spiritual life is believing in Jesus. By believing in him, anyone can have a whole and lasting life. And it begins the moment when we believe. Now, I don't mean in believing that Jesus lived 2,000 years ago. I mean in believing that Jesus lives today. There's a difference. And that Jesus has the power to make a difference in my life. Huh? And to make a change in my life for good. To make a change in my life that's real and meaningful and authentic. And then when people see that change, they don't see me or anything I've done. What they see is they see the power of Jesus. And they give Jesus glory. Jesus mentioned a story from the Old Testament, Numbers 21. People of Israel wandering through the wilderness trying to find the promised land. They were being bitten by poisonous snakes and many Israelites were dying. Now don't you know that was mass confusion? They're out there running in the desert and snakes are biting them. You ain't anybody was screaming and hollering. I know them women were. Probably a lot of men. The Lord told Moses, says, you make a golden snake and you put it on a pole and you hold that thing up. And the Lord promised Moses that if anyone were bitten, all they had to do was to look up at the golden snake and they would be saved from the poisonous snake bite. That is just hard to believe, isn't it? But you know what? All those who had faith and believed what they were told were saved. Well, nothing they done. They didn't earn it. They didn't deserve it. They couldn't work for it. They couldn't pay for it. All they had to do was believe. And when they were bit was to look up. So it was God. It was God showing himself off. In the very same way Jesus said, I will be lifted up on a cross. And those who look to me, those who believe in me, they will be saved from the poisonous effects of sin. And I tell you, sin is very poisonous. I don't have to tell you that, do I? I mean, the effects of sin upon our world and our society and our communities and our homes, it's disastrous. The secret of life is that life is a spiritual event, not just a physical event. And there's an obstacle that prevents us from experiencing the fullness of our spirituality. And it's our sin. And our sin is nothing but pride. We become proud and we think that we can earn our way, we can buy our way, we deserve or whatever. And we can't. But Jesus tells us we believe in him, we will receive forgiveness from that kind of thinking and that kind of living. We will receive forgiveness and we will experience a new birth. It's a mystery, but it's not mysterious. It's a supernatural experience based upon a historical happening, the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So in conclusion, I would say this. The way the FBI trains its agents to recognize counterfeit bills is not by teaching them what the counterfeits look like. They teach them what the real thing looks like. The idea is that if an agent learns to recognize all the characteristics of a genuine bill, spotting a counterfeit will be a very simple task. If it doesn't look exactly like the real thing, it's fake. Not a bad strategy for applying truth to our lives. Our objective is not to focus on what is false. Our objective is to focus on that is true. Today, if you're seeking something but not sure what that is. Today, if you're looking for truth and fulfillment, maybe through success or things or money or travel or relationships or any other number of things, and it seems like they're more elusive than ever before. If so, the story of Nicodemus should encourage us all. Nicodemus came to Jesus as a seeker, and he left as a follower. Hallelujah, isn't that good? And in there, it didn't say he had to go to some type of school or he had to learn some kind of this. He was a seeker, and when he believed on Jesus, he became his follower. Now, Nicodemus may not have been that smart spiritually, much, you know, lot like us. But on that night, he learned the secret of life. He learned the truth because the truth stood there and looked at him with grace and mercy and gave him a message that we all need to hear. Believe in Jesus and experience life. By believing in him, anyone can have a whole and lasting life. There are many things in life that promise fulfillment, but they ultimately prove to be fake. Jesus is not one of those things. So today let us believe and proclaim that Jesus is the real deal and that our faith in Jesus is strong enough to stand and face any challenge or any challenger today. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Father, we thank you for your word. I thank you for this story about Nicodemus, a man that reminds us so much of ourselves. We really want to know the truth, but sometimes we don't look in the right place. Today, help us look to Jesus. Help us to have that real, authentic, and meaningful relationship with Almighty God through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Anoint us, change us, and work through us that people can see you and what you're able to do. We give you praise, honor, and glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's all turn to hymn number 675. We're going to stand and sing verses 1, 3, and 4 of I Gave My Life for Thee.
My precious love I shared.
Again, we thank you for bringing the spirit of worship, those pretty smiles this morning. And I'll carry that same spirit out into the world and encourage others to follow Jesus. Does anybody have anything to say before we leave? All right, Jerry, would you dismiss us?
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this Sunday that you have given us the opportunity to come to your house, Father, and to worship you. We thank you for this spirit that you're helping us to develop within ourselves. Thank you for moving through this community as you're moving. The love that is being shown to each other. Father, we just thank you for all of the gospel. Opportunity that you've given us to go back and be in your presence, feel all of your love. Father, I ask you to please be with us throughout this week so that we can reach for that. Be with the study that you're putting on, Father, just continue to cultivate. We ask this all in the name of Christ.
Amen. Amen.